step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 619. I am Lisa Sheps, and I am joined by Memorial Day co-host, Miss Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
You are listening to us on KOOP HD1, HD3, Hornsby, streaming live at koop.org. And during El Pandemico, we are pre-recorded and homegrown. Stay with us.
The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up, feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh yeah.
Picture me, just another cool kid at NYC, near the park and the Met. Life is sweet, Yankees in the Bronx, pretzels on the street, just how good can it get? Who'd have guessed?
It is Wednesday, June 2nd, 2021. On the show today, we have the Vortex Rep and their show, Annie Jump and the Library of Heaven. Also, Nicole and I are going to speak about what's going on in theater in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. Stick with us. Nicole, I played the song 13, Becoming a Man, from Jason Robert Brown's 13, because do you know why? I bet you don't even know why.
I do know why.
No,
they're
okay.
They're going to make a movie.
Nope, that's not why.
Oh.
Yes, they are going to make a movie. They are making a movie.
They did just announce that. You know, this was the show that Ariana Grande was in before she
Grande. Before we talk about the show itself, we still need to find out why we played it. So I'm going to quiz you.
Okay.
How many years has Offstage and On the Air been on the air?
12.
12 years. And do you know when the new season starts?
It got to be soon here. June, right?
June. So that means we are in our 13th year, which is why...
We're becoming teenagers.
We are becoming bat mitzvahs.
Yay!
So that's why I played that. But can you believe it? We have been on the air for 12 years.
Isn't that nutty?
We are in our 13th year. And you, I believe, this may be your 10 year or 11 year something.
It's over 11 for me now. So
that's
yeah.
Pretty amazing. This is our 619th show.
That's bananas.
It's crazy. It's bananas. Well, so happy birthday.
Happy birthday. C'est bon anniversaire.
C'est bon anniversaire. So you had mentioned that the show 13 is going to be made a movie. And this was the debut, not only the Broadway debut, it was indeed the Broadway debut, but it is what made Ariana Grande known. And she played one of the dancers.
Yeah, it was her little foray. She made her actual Broadway debut before she was a little pop star. And I want to say, I forgot, I just read an article in the last week about, they just started some of the casting for the movie. I can't remember.
And I had it up, but I don't think, the only thing I know that they have is, oh, darn it. I thought I had it here. Deborah Messing.
That's what it was. I was like, I think it was one of the moms. I feel like it was someone of some, it was Deborah Messing. There you go.
Yeah. So this show is interesting in that it is the first, maybe the only show that is starring, all the actors are teenagers and all the musicians are teenagers.
Isn't that cool? I just think that's so awesome sauce that they're, you know, I love it when the teens and the children take the stage.
Right.
So now I got the orchestra too. That's phenomenal.
It ran September through October of 2008 at the Bernie Jacobs Theater, and it paid for 105 performances. And we should say, we did say it's Jason Robert Brown did the music and lyrics. The book is by Dan Elish and Robert Horn. There is a Netflix movie that's going to be coming out at some point in the future. We do have a death to report, although most known for television, but he not has two Broadway credits. Mm-hmm. This is Gavin McLeod, who people either know from The Love Boat or from the Lou Grant Show.
Was it Lou Grant Show or Mary Tyler
Moore? Oh, it was Mary Tyler Moore. Yes, you're right. Mary Tyler Moore. But he was the director of the newsroom.
Yeah. Ed Asner's tweet made me sad when he was saying goodbye to him this week. And Betty, you and I are the only ones left. And my heart was just like, I mean, Ed Asner was so upset. And then good old Tom Skerritt tweeted in and was like, Ed, it's Tom Skerritt here. I'm here for you.
So he had two Broadway shows. He had his first Broadway show was in 1955. He was a performer in A Hat Full of Rain. And then he played Harry Locke in The Captains and the Kings in 1962. And that was it for his, I don't know either of those shows. So that was it for his Broadway career. And it was 6 years between those two shows. He's from Mount Kisco, New York.
He was recently, I want to say probably about in the last year, they had everybody from The Love Boat on the Today Show and they were all gathered together. It was so great just to, they still all just loved each other so much. Like they were family. These years after the show was over, you know?
The Love Boat was a great show. I loved it. I wouldn't call it great, but I did love it. Mm-hmm.
Endearing, Lisa. It was endearing.
Yes. So a couple of things that have shown up in streaming world. One of them was the film version of the Broadway show Oslo, which premiered two nights ago on HBO Plus or HBO, not HBO Plus, HBO Max. Did you get to see it at all?
No, and I actually have the HBO Max because it comes with my cable stuff, so I can get on the HBO Max.
I watched it last night. Yes.
Okay.
One of the things that the show on Broadway was 3 hours. The movie was just under two. So they cut a lot out of it. But it starred Ruth Wilson and Andrew Scott and amongst other people. And the guy that played Shimon Peres looked just like him. It was amazing. Really? But this, if people don't know, this tells the story of the Oslo Accords. In the 90s, during the Clinton administration, there was talks between the PLO and Israel, and they were not going anywhere. So these pair of Norwegian a husband and wife, brought people in secretly to Oslo to negotiate. And this was what led to the handshake between Yasser Arafat and Yitzhak Rabin, and was going on to peace between the two people before Rabin was assassinated at a rally to celebrate it. So by an Israeli, by the way. So
yeah, I know.
Yeah. So it's just a very interesting show. The performances are really wonderful. You could understand it's an acting piece because, you know, there's not a lot of action. It's a lot of talking, but I think worth seeing.
Okay. I wanted to get in there. I want to watch the Friends reunion. There's a few things on HBO Max. So I'm like, oh, I'll get in it to stream it. And that I will definitely check it out now.
Well, I know this is not a television podcast. And I will say this just very briefly. I liked Friends. I was not a huge mega fan, but this reunion was put together very well.
Okay. And I did enjoy Friends. So I was wondering if I'd enjoy the reunion or not. So
I think you will. I think you will. It's fun. And then the last thing, and we talked about this last week. And unfortunately, those listening now, as you know, we record this on Monday. It will stop being available today. So in the past, for those of you listening, and that's Bandstand. On Broadway on demand. And I've watched about a quarter of it so far. And I like it. It's one of these musicals that I kind of laugh at. It's like the musicals we do at Ground Floor Theater. You had Parade, Fun Home, these shows that sound like they're going to be sort of lighthearted, but they're deep. So Bandstand is a deep, heavy show dealing with PTSD in World War II. And it's with Laura Osnes and now I want to say Beth Malone, but it's the other Beth, Beth Level.
I love that you flip it now.
I just flipped it.
I'll tell you, the I've seen three performances from the show, and they're really, every performance I have seen has really been phenomenal.
Well, this was directed by Andy Blankenbuehler, and you know, folks will know Andy Blankenbuehler as the choreographer of Hamilton and In the Heights and many, many other things. I looked back, and I don't have it up here right now, but I looked at his IMDb page. Oh my gosh, he has been around for years and he's been constantly working. Mm-hmm. I was surprised at some of the things that I saw.
Yeah, he has a very robust resume long before Hamilton and In the Heights, but that's what really put him on the map. But he's a very talented individual.
He is indeed. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to go straight to our interview because we're going to break it up into two pieces. So we're going to listen to a little bit right now to the end of this half. And then we'll pick up the second half of our show with the second half of the interview. So shall we just jump right in that Zoom machine and do it?
Let's get in that Zoom machine. I got my seatbelt on. I'm ready to go.
Here it is. Nicole Shiro, have you heard of the Vortex Repertory Company?
I have. I just enjoy those things they do over there.
I love the Vortex. So the Vortex is doing a very, very exciting project called Annie Jump. And I know that's not the entire title, but we'll wait for them to tell us what the entire title is. It's a huge undertaking that I've been hearing about for a long time. And I can't wait to talk to the creatives and some of the cast that we have on the Zoom machine with us today.
I know, it's very exciting. We have a whole bunch of folks.
Great. Well, I'm going to just jump right in and introduce them. We have director, one of the co-directors and a artistic director of Ground Floor Theater of the Vortex Rep and the namer of Ground Floor Theater, by the way, Rudy true. Ramirez. Hi, Rudy.
Hi, Lisa. It's good to see you.
Hello, Rudy.
And we have the head of the theater department. And we have the head of the theater department and co-director, Marcus McWhorter. Hi, Marcus. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you for having us.
Hello,
you are
Marcus.
Quite welcome. Thank well, you. That's it for the show. We'll see you next week. and we have three of the performers here with us. We have Christina Blake. Hi, Christina.
Hi.
We have Dane Parker.
Hello.
And we have Octavia LaToy. Hi.
Hello.
Well, that's great. Awesome. So I'm very excited. You know, I talk to Bonnie Cullum at least once a week. And so I've been hearing about this for so long. And I'm excited to have you guys on to actually learn a bit about it. And let's just start with the full name of the piece. We should say this is written by Raina Hardy. Rudy, what's the full name? It's more than just Annie Jump.
The full name is Annie Jump and the Library of Heaven.
So, Marcus, tell us what Annie Jump and the Library of Heaven is all about.
This fantastic play by Raina Hardy. And it is about a 13-year-old genius in the middle of Kansas, middle of nowhere, Kansas, who is contacted by alien life. And she is skeptical at first and is... She takes us on this journey where she comes to grips with what is going on in her life. At the same time, she is the daughter of a man who is dedicated his life to searching for extraterrestrial intelligence. And you can only imagine how that's going to affect her outlook on life, her social status in this small town in the middle of Kansas, and what she aspires to in life. It's a wonderful piece. It's a family piece. It's I immediately fell in love with it for about 6 or 7 billion reasons. It's funny. It's poignant. It's heartwarming. It's goofy. It's full of science fiction and references. Fantastic relationships. So it was just like when Rudy called and said, "Hey, you wanna get in on this?" I was like, "Yes, yes." I think I read awesome. It as soon as he sent it, and I was like, "Yeah, let's play."
That sounds amazing. And I guess I should say this is also done in conjunction with Six Square and the Carver Museum. Correct.
Correct. Correct.
And Six Square is doing a lot of really good work around the cultural district over there on the east side, which is so vitally important to the culture of the city and the feel of the city and everything. They're really doing some amazing work. So how is it for you? Have you guys co-directed before?
No, together? We haven't. We've never worked together, and I've never co-directed anything before.
So
it's been interesting. It's been fun. I've learned and I've grown, and I've said it before. I said it again. Rudy is a brilliant director. He is an absolutely fantastic director. So for me, it is an absolute privilege to work with him.
He is indeed. And Rudy, I'm guessing this is not your first co-directing experience.
No, I think the last co-direction I did was back in 2012. But I was really excited to party with Marcus on this. We've been trying to do things together for a long time. And it was finally, we were finally able to succeed with this one. I was saying before that, you know, the biggest thing I think that Marcus and I have in common is we both are great lovers of what I call cheap magic, which is when you have a play that's talking about where you have an alien supercomputer is one of the characters, and she has to manifest as a teenage mean girl and then create explosions in a laboratory and create this this magical display of the universe when she's showing her stuff. You can do that with a lot of expensive things, or you can figure out what are the fun theatrical ways to create that magic. And I love to do it myself. I'd love to see Marcus do it. I've watched a number of shows that Marcus has done where that's happened so beautifully. So we're getting to do, I think, maybe the most analog lo-fi version of this show that's been done. It's the Rolling Rule premiere with the National New Play Network, but that's what's exciting to me about it.
Actually, that was going to be one of the questions that I was going to have later. You are part of the, this is a Rolling premiere of the New Play Network. Is this, where is it on its journey? I'm guessing now you're not the first.
Funny story. So we were working on a version of this right before the shutdown. And so we were able to, the good thing is that with the shutdown, we were then able to use the show for this grant that we got with it to basically bring in people from outside of Austin to come see the show. And so this is, we're the last theater of the Rolling Rule premiere, and it's, I think it might be the longest Rolling Rule premiere in the history of NNPN, just because of the big giant pause that was taken in the middle of it all. But it's Raina's first Rolling Rule premiere. We're really excited for her.
Awesome. I should say NNPN is the New Play Network, National New Play Network, of which Vortex is one of the premier theater companies, members, whatever the name is. Well, I want to switch gears and talk to some of the performers. Christina, I wish people could see you on video because you have got so much energy during all this. And I'm going to guess, based on your reactions to some of the things that Rudy and Marcus said, that you are playing Annie Jump.
Not quite.
Nope.
Althea, the crazy supercomputer teen queen, mean queen.
I knew I was going to be wrong. So you're playing Althea. Say that description again, the amazing teen queen. What?
Like this teen, mean supercomputer that presents as a, you know, a teenage mean high school queen. I know there's just so many things to describe her as.
So you're that thing that we're all scared of, robots taking over the world.
Precisely. Yes. I like that.
Awesome. Dane, what, who do you play? What do you play?
Hello, I play Kenneth Jerome Urbanik, teenage computer genius who's just trying to make some friends.
Isn't that the story? And Octavia
failing miserably at it.
It's very close to home.
And Octavia, what about you?
I am Annie Jump, whose world gets turned around. Mm-hmm.
There you go. I was like so totally wrong. And the three of you, how large is the cast? Because I know other people that are in the show that aren't with us today. How big is the cast?
Five people.
So we have the majority. We have the people that count are here.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well,
everyone counts.
I know, of course. Thank you for saying that. I do appreciate it. I grew up from my mother saying nobody likes a smart A. And I said, well, at least I'm not a dumb A. So I know that you guys are prepared to do a short scene for us. Does somebody want to set it up?
Yeah, I can do that. Annie's had a hard day. Her dad embarrassed himself by talking about aliens again. And she's gone out to her favorite field in to watch the stars, because you can see so many stars from there in Kansas. But her stargazing is interrupted by a very loud boom in the sky that's about to change her life forever.
Okay, awesome. Well, this is a scene from Annie Jump and the Library of Heaven, performed by Christina Blake and Octavia LaToy.
What is that? What butt wipe is setting off a firework during a meteor shower? What the? A pool ball?
That's mine, you know.
What?
That thing you just picked up, it belongs to me.
Oh,
American English? It's mine.
It came from the sky? Do you want it back?
I just wanted you to know that it was mine.
Okay. Who are you?
You can call me Althea.
Althea, is that your real name or something you just made up?
Do you think I would just go around like making up a name like Althea?
What are you, an oil kid?
An oil kid? Oh.
All the rich kids have super fancy names. Get Clementine, Dashiell. Are you new?
Well, I just got here.
Well, look, I'm sorry to ruin your plans for this evening, but this is my rock. So can you just text whoever it is and tell him to meet you somewhere else?
Meet who? Where?
You know, Pete Stockholm or Darcy or whichever boy you're planning to make out with. Ugh. Come on. Don't pretend you're out here to watch the Perseids.
The Perseids?
The Perseids. It's a meteor shower that comes around once every August. They call it that because...
I know what the Perseids are.
You don't have to be embarrassed. We all have our areas of expertise. Mine is engineering and astronomy, and yours is... I don't know. Hair. Boys.
I didn't come here to make out with some smelly teenage boys. I came here for you, Annie Jump.
Whoa! How do you know my name?
Seriously?
You threw a pool ball at me. Are you some kind of stalker?
No. I'm the visual manifestation of a mind furl of an intergalactic supercomputer built and maintained by a collection of the most advanced intelligent species in the universe.
You know what? Screw you. You are a terrible human being.
I just told you I'm not a human being.
It's not my fault, okay? Ha ha ha, Dr. Alien, but he's my dad. So you don't have to rub my face in it. I came out here to be alone. I came out here to watch a meteor shower. I didn't come out here to get made fun of by some popular fluffhead for something that I didn't even do.
Wait, what makes you think I'm popular? Is it more of the clothes or the hair? Oh, I am really, really proud of the hair.
Well, I guess if you're pretty, you can be as big of a weirdo as you like.
Oh, I'm not a weirdo. I'm a visual manifestation of a mind furl of an intergalactic supercomputer. I know everything you know, everything you don't know, and everything you're not allowed to know. I pretty much know, well, everything.
Yeah, right.
Try me.
I'm not as dumb as my father is.
Try me.
Okay. Who discovered Cepheid variable stars?
Henrietta Swan Leavitt, the Harvard computer.
What's Kepler's third law of planetary motion?
The square of the orbital period of a planet's proportional to the cube of the semi-major axis of its orbit. Come on, Annie. This is high school stuff.
Fine. How do you reconcile quantum mechanics with general relativity?
Can't tell you that. There's a slight chance you'll understand it.
Oh, excuse me?
I'm not supposed to reveal any truths or any information not currently known on planet Earth. No revealing any answers to the big questions. No giving you any alien technologies. It's kind of like my prime directive.
No big questions, huh?
Well, I can give you one. Are we alone in the universe? Hint, hint, you're not.
Yay. Well, that is wonderful.
That was awesome.
Is really, really wonderful. So you, that is great. I had so much fun watching you guys.
Me too. And,
all right, I'm going to jump in right now. We're going to break off the interview right now. We're going to go to break and we're going to come back after the break with the second part of the interview. We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa
and Nicole.
You are listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby 91.7 FM, streaming live at koop.org. And during the pandemic and for the next month or so, we are still pre-recorded. Let's jump back into our interview with Rudy Ramirez and Marcus McCorder and the gang from Vortex Rep and Annie Jump and the Library of
Heaven.
Heaven. Here it is. And as is like a miracle, Raina Hardy just jumped in at the very end of that piece.
Perfect timing.
So this has got a lot of girl power and female empowerment, and teaches a little bit of STEAM, if I might say that out loud. And I do love Raina and company. The hint at the tribute to Star Trek and the Prime Directive. That gives us boomers a little push. So Raina, tell us about how you came about this piece. What was it? I mean, you've done so many. You're quite prolific, as they say. So tell us about what's special about this piece. And also, I know this is the fifth or sixth. I don't know how many people were in the rolling premieres, but how it's evolved over the past couple of years.
So Annie Jump actually has a really awesome origin story. I wrote it, the first draft, and it's changed since then, but it has not changed hugely. Over 3 days, one summer while the Perseids were falling, which is actually something that happens in the play as well.
I just want to say that I knew all about the Perseids.
That's fantastic.
The fact that I wrote it down on a piece of paper with a question mark doesn't mean anything.
It's, I mean, as you know, the Annie and Althea would quiz you on it and expect you to know. So, And it came, it was really like, I think maybe the most wonderful. I really wish that writing was always like this. It's not like that right now. And I really, but I, to have like something happen like that once as a writer, I think is probably more than I should be asking for in terms of just what a blast it was to write, you know, like that musical theater thing where like you step and like people shove like steps in front of you as you walk. It felt like that. I thought I'd throw in some musical theater references for this show.
I think that's important.
And it came, I think, from a collision of two different things that I'd read. A book about the history of scientific thought called Coming of Age in the Milky Way, which has this idea of this idea that the universe could evolve a consciousness because of intelligent life, you know, developing technology and communicating through that. And this idea that, oh my gosh, what if we are the universe thinking about itself, which is very high sounding, but is apparently something that scientists will discuss. And then a radio piece I'd heard a long time ago about a man whose father was obsessed with aliens and had a website like the one Annie's father has in the show, where he asks for aliens to contact him via his website. And these two things just kind of like crashed together, and just like the play just like popped out of nowhere. It was about like 2 months from just the bolt of lightning to getting to hear it out loud for the first time.
Wow.
Wow. That is, yeah.
That's as it's fast as a bolt of lightning. Well, that's yeah, awesome.
It's just like grease lightning.
Yeah. And it's been really cool to have I have seen, unfortunately, one of the Rolling World premieres was canceled totally, and another one is still indefinitely postponed, but I've gotten to see a couple so far, and then I've gotten to see one remotely. And I think it's been really, the thing that I love about it is like, the sort of core people have been very different every time, and the show still works. So that makes me feel like very like happy, you know, like dynamics, like the dynamics of like the like character energies have been completely reversed. And I'm like, yeah, still works, still good. You know, like they just very, very different. I'm hoping I want to get like I really want to make like a collage of the different like Annies and Altheas and like KJs, mostly the Altheas because they are the most spectacular.
There you go.
But
well,
I do that real bad.
Awesome. Well, maybe after this run is over, we'll get you back on the show and talk about your experience and how it has manifested the evolution of the piece. So that can be kind of fun.
That would be cool.
So, is this done in the indoor stage at the Vortex, or is it done outside in the complex?
Okay, so it's going to be outside of the Vortex on the outdoor stage. We're changing the setup outside to so that people can sit in groups and tables and things like that, and we'll also have some bleacher seating in the back, I think. So we'll have lots of options for folks, and we're building this really big, beautiful set. Megan Kemp, who's been working with us for a very long time, is our designer, and she's created all these like great levels for everyone to play on.
Levels are always so much fun when you have it. And this seems like such a fun piece. And Dane, I just wanted to capture what a great reaction you had when Rudy started talking about the set. What's your impression of the set you've seen so far as it's being built, or if it's already completely built?
It's been amazing. As soon as we got out there, got on the stage and started working, and every day it becomes more of this world, and there's so many different levels, and we're finding so many different bits and things to play with, and it just, the set is fantastic. I love it.
Great. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing it. So there's also, I know that part of the goals of this piece is to bring people in from outside of Austin to come and see. And I know I'm just really thrilled. I see billboards out there. So there's lots of fun stuff. But you also have this pre-show activity that's going to happen for the show. Can you tell us about a few of those? It's a different show every performance, correct?
Yeah. There's going to be different guest artists coming in to do pre-show work. India Wilmont has just, oh, we can't cuss on here, has worked her behind off to set up a whole bunch of wonderful activities that are family friendly, that are science centric, which, you know, we need so much more science, and we need to push science to the forefront. So I'm really excited about that. Each night there'll be about a good half hour's worth of pre-show activities that go back to what you're talking about. This is a blend of this STEAM thing, blending art with the sciences, which I think is fantastic.
Yeah, I totally agree. I totally think it's important. I'm loving that you're doing that. And the Vortex Complex is just so wonderful for this kind of thing. It sounds like it's going to be just amazing. So who are some of the other production team people? I know you talked about Megan Kemp. I would assume there's probably a pretty big lighting component to this.
Yeah, there will be. Patrick Anthony is on lights. And we've got Desiree Humphreys on costume design, and her costumes are just, I was loving them so much last night.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Finally had the full parade, and particularly as Rena said, like Althea serving Garnet Realness from Steven Universe made me very happy. And then Maggie Almendariz on props design, and she's got, the props in this show are a lot, like Annie being a science genius. Octave, if you want to talk about some of the lab work that you do in this show.
Wow, it is truly amazing, and I've never done anything like it. There is black powder used. There is like a, not like a chainsaw, but like a kind of thing, a kind of chainsaw that Annie kind of, I don't know, finagles. There's sparks. There's like the middle school volcano experiment, the baking soda. It's very fun. And so I look forward to playing with it every night.
Well, fun. As an audience member, will I feel safe?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. They have definitely taken the precautions to make sure any explosions or any sparks are flying are very contained, number one, but also are flying like towards the right side of the stage. So not audience member, it's within the parameters of the fun.
The lovely thing about the show is that all the actors will get both a PE credit and a chemistry one credit for having been a part of this class, part of this cast.
This is written as a piece for young adults. I know I'm a young adult, but if somebody was older than me, would they enjoy coming to see this show?
I would. Yeah. I think that actually it has, I'm going to just jump in because I think it's a play for all ages. And that's, I've never been able to get like a youth theater to do it. I think that like, I would love for that to happen, but it's, you know, think of like, I'm really going to fluff myself up here. So I should have let somebody else answer this question, but like think of a Pixar movie or, you know, like something that is going to have a good bit of sadness and drama, but is going to be something for the whole family. So it's not going to be, I think that people older than all of us will like it. And I'm not basing this just on me. I'm basing this on what people who have come to other productions have told me.
Wonderful. Christina, did you want to say something?
Yeah, I just have a little piece of evidence to back up Raina there. My mom, she's visiting back from Jamaica. She won't be able to see the show. She's already gone, but she came to visit rehearsal and she got to see, you know, a good chunk of it. Oh, she was in love. And I don't want to age her, but she's like 42 years young and she was like feeling it. So when she says it's for everybody, it really is, because this show is popping. It is.
Well, wonderful. And that's evident by the piece that y'all did.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Rudy, who are the other two performers that aren't with us today?
We've got Jeremy Rashad Brown is playing Dr. Jump, who is Annie's father. He is, as we said, he is has become fixated on aliens over the past few years. And this is also like some of the things this show talks about is grief and mental health as well, because he's also dealing with the loss of his wife. Eva McQuaid, I will let Marcus talk about Evan McQuaid because this is Marcus's first time working and experiencing the force of nature that is Evan. Marcus.
Before Marcus answers, Christina just put the laughing so hard I'm crying emoji up.
I mean, it's just that she's a force. She is such a remarkable performer. I leaned over to Rudy the other day and asked him, does she know how good she is? Does she know how good she is? I mean, look, we've been rehearsing and there've been people in the butterfly bar out in the garden eating and drinking, eating pasta. And she comes on stage and everybody stops. You can hear the forks drop and people just like, what is happening up there? I need to see this. I need to witness this. She's fantastic. And I feel absolutely blessed to be able to work on this project with her.
And she's playing Annie's science teacher. But this being a very small school, she doubles as the science and Spanish teacher. But she definitely has sort of a since Annie's lost her mother, she kind of has sort of the step into the mom role thing from time to time. So it's getting that heart, but also like Eva's incredible comedic brilliance.
Yeah, that's awesome. Great. That makes me happy.
Well, just the last thing before we go, I know that, you know, COVID-19 is, I like to say it's in its death throes. We are opening up, we're starting to get back together, but I'm assuming that this show still has some COVID-19 mitigation. Can you tell us what y'all are doing along those lines?
The fact that we're doing this outdoors is the biggest part of it. And so this, the Butterfly Bar, we've been, and Patrizzi's, we've had everybody, people are allowed to be unmasked at their tables while they're eating and drinking. And so like we've been doing that at the Vortex for the past, you know, at least past couple few months now, and with nothing bad to report. I think that the fact that outdoor transmission is so negligible is going to be doing the work for us.
Great. So folks can feel safe in going there. Marcus, when do you guys open this show?
We open on June 4th, which is next Friday. We'll have previews, I believe, on Wednesday and Thursday.
And how long do you play?
Oh, gosh, like forever, until July.
Forever. Well, that's good. So that's
third, I think.
Yeah. Great. And those are the Vortex, and we'll also have a weekend engagement at the Carver later in July.
And I'm assuming there'll be if I know Melissa Vogt, as I do, there's going to be an online component to this as well.
Yes, indeed.
Great. So where can folks get information about the show?
Vortexrep.org.
Awesome. Well, I am so happy that you guys came on. I really can't wait to see this. This looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah. Thank you all.
And using the venue in the way that it should be used. And there's a lot of community involved. And clearly with the group here, this is a relatively large group for our interviews, but I can feel the love here. There's a great vibe going through the Zoom boxes.
There really is. This has been fun.
All right. That was a great interview.
It was a great interview.
I really do want to see this. You know, oftentimes I say I want to see something and I know that I probably won't. I will definitely see this show.
And I really enjoyed the little scene and everything. Like, I had a lot of fun.
The scene was just so much fun. Mm-hmm. All right. So there's a couple of things, several more things that we can talk about. And you had actually mentioned during the break, you asked me if we were going to talk about the Tonys. And indeed we are. They have finally set a date. Oh, of course, we knew that last week, I think. But it's interesting. They're doing it.
I will be watching.
Oh my gosh. I wish people could see you. You're just all, before I could even say anything, you're shaking your head. So on the national broadcast that anybody can see, they're only showing the three premier award winners, which is best musical, best play, and I think, you know, best actor in a musical. I wonder who that's going to be.
I was I wonder who that's going to be with one person nominated.
The rest of the prizes are going to be on Paramount Plus, which is CBS's streaming version. I'm already a subscriber, so I will be seeing it, but I totally understand your reaction to the idea of having to pay to see the Tonys.
You've taken it away. You've messed with it 500 times. I'm sorry all your award shows are tanking massively, but to just show such disrespect to the theater community, to put it on a paid service. And then the best part is people were complaining and they were having their own team replying, but you can sign up for a free thing for 2 weeks. And then that's not the point. You're missing the point. And I am so livid over it.
Not only is that not the point, and I have done it before. I've signed up for a free thing, and they got.
Yep.
But there's some it's quasi ethical things there. But yeah. I am in total agreement with you on this one. And the Tonys kept us
everybody satisfied during the pandemic and kept everybody happy. That's like was Hamilton and all of these Broadway shows. And then you just say, never mind, you're not good enough to watch it. It's just very disrespectful.
Well, in fairness to Hamilton, they are also behind a paywall. But
I know, on the same channel. So, I mean, I'm complaining
different channel.
To the same people. Aren't they on Paramount?
No. They're on Disney.
That's right. They're Disney.
But here's the deal. Tonys have like, they could have had an award ceremony a year ago. They opted not to. So the Golden Globes or the Drama Desk happened. Golden Globes might, by the way, may be going away for good.
The Oscars so the happened, Tonys, the Billboards happened, the Grammys happened.
Shame on the Tonys for not making it happen. It wasn't like it couldn't be done. And then they announced they were going to have a Tony Awards, and then it took 6 months to give us a date. I am with you. So it's probably a good idea to not watch them at all as but I don't want to lose the Tonys moving forward. I don't want to lose
them either. So it puts me in this bad, like, ethical decision of I need to watch it because I need them to come back. But you're making me do something that's against everything I believe in. So I'm very, very upset they put me in this conundrum. Like, shame on them.
I'm with you. I am with you. Totally with you.
And that's why I'm more than likely not gonna sign up. I just can't. So I won't.
No.
So it's sad. I'll have to see. Hopefully people will capture it and post it on the Twitter for me.
I'm sure there will be pieces and performances. It'll be interesting. I like so many others are angry with the Antoinette Perry Awards folks. So we'll see. But on a more positive note.
I mean, they're happening, so that's good.
On a more positive note, there's a project that I had never heard of. This is a very New York-centric story, so apologies for our folks in Austin. But I just love the idea of this. I would love to see them instigate something like this in Austin. It's called the Places Please Project. Did you see that?
No, what is this?
So this is a company that's launching, giving grants to get theater professionals to move back to New York City.
This is awesome.
Mm-hmm. And I just totally love as an ex-stage manager, the name of this project, the Places Please Project, is just great.
Yeah.
But this is specifically for New York City, for anybody whose theater, who in 2019, theater was their primary source of income. You have to have made $25,000 or less in 2020. There's other things that you have to do, like show a copy of a lease and things like that. But it basically covers 2 months of rent at New York prices is a decent amount of money.
Yeah, this is what a great program. Who started this? Whose idea was this?
Well, there is a link on our show notes to the Places Please website. And I had it up here and I can't find it.
Look. I was just wondering if it was like a city initiative or a personal initiative I'll go down the rabbit hole and look later.
Go down the rabbit hole.
I'll let you know what I find out.
Folks can get information at PlacesPleaseProject.com.
I just love that name. I'm
so know, me too.
Why did we come up with that, Lisa?
Kind of makes me mad. I wish we had. Are you a Willy Wonka fan?
I love Willy Wonka.
So you know there's going to be another movie that's a prequel with Timothy Chalamet.
Yeah, I know. Actually, I could see him being Wonka. Wonka's a little weird and creepy and cool and suave and creepy, like, and fun.
Well, there's actually a picture of him that I'm showing you right now.
As Wonka?
Well, not as Wonka, but you see him right next to Gene Wilder. And he does kind of look that way.
Yeah, I think that looking at him every day, it should be interesting. I mean, it's kind of, to me, it's very Wicked-like. Let's look at the before.
Perhaps. So anyway, I think that that's interesting. It's going to be a musical. I don't know who's doing the music. It's probably in here. Do you know?
I couldn't know. I saw that it, because at first I thought it was just a movie, and then I read an article that said musical, but I couldn't find in that article, and then I didn't go back or go down a rabbit hole, so I don't know.
Yeah,
but it I saw actually, musical also. I was surprised by that.
This was in Variety for May 24th. There'll be a link to the show notes. It does not mention other than Chalamet, doesn't mention any casting or creatives.
Creatives or anything, yeah.
I'm kind of excited about this, this new Lynn Nottage piece at the Signature. It's interesting. So this is a Signature Theater. This is going to be something that starts this month, June 22nd, at the Signature, the Pershing Signature Center. It's an So when I read the little headlines, the little blurb in the Broadway briefing, it said it's happening June 22nd and it's immersive. And I'm going, oh my God, that seems a little early for an immersive show. But it's taking in the entire Signature Center down to the, you know, you walk all through the center. So which comprises of several theaters, several lobbies, box office, and you're going to go through, all the places. Have you ever been to the Signature Center?
A while ago, but yes. Have you been there?
Yes. I saw Hillary and Clinton there.
Is that where it was?
It's the Hillary. I think it was Hillary and Clinton, the one that started at the musical theater workshop.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So this is called The Watering Hole. I'll just read this. I don't really understand a lot about what it's about, but this is from Theater Mania.
You're like, I don't understand what it's about, but I know it's immersive.
It's directed by Miranda Heyman. And here's, I'm just going to read this quote from this article. Quote, the inspiration and organizing principle of the Watering Hole came about when we, as a collective, began talking about what Signature means to us, and in particular, that lobby, how important that communal space has been to us over the years, said Nottage. What does it mean to have lost that nexus point that gives us the opportunity to gather and see disparate people coming together? So it's kind of a rebirth, if you will.
Yeah, I like that.
So there's there will be a link to the article you can read about other people that are part of this. And it looks like something I would like to see, but it would be only the kind of thing I'd see if I happened to live in New York, which I do not.
Same here. We had geographical problems.
Yeah. So June marks the beginning of Pride Month. And Pride is happening all over the place. We know we have Sing Out, which happens this Thursday, rain or shine. You can get more information about that at groundfloortheater.org/playout.
Sing out.
Thank you. You saw my face and play out. It's not the right Sing Out.
Yeah. You said it and you were like, that didn't sound right.
Yep. And to refresh your memory, you can go back to last week's show and listen to our interview, with Beth Malone and Mila Sarah Jane Daly. And you can get a lot of information about that. But the Pride Parade is coming back in August in all its glory. And it's happening all over the country, too.
Yes. AGLIF has their Pride Mini Fest going on. And the Pride in Local Music with Nashville and Austin at the end of the month. There's a lot of, we have some good events going on in June besides our big old Pride shindig that we go down in August. It's kind of exciting.
Yeah. So we're coming back to life a little bit. so that's it for today's show. Thank you for joining us. Happy Pride. Happy 13th Pride. Season to us.
Yes, and, this is exciting.
Yep. And we will see you guys next week when we look at what's happening off stage and on the air. Bye.
Monty Navarro, you're here by invitation.
Monty Navarro, you've wormed your way back in.
But please resist the slightest inclination to feel at home.
The ice is thin.
Wipe off that grin.
Oh, you may be clever, but Monty, you'll never win. You'll never win.